For those of you that may be visiting today, my name is Mark Yarbrough, and I serve as one of the elders here at Center Point Church. And today is a unique day. It's a special day. Normally, at this time, like many churches, most churches, as we have come together to worship together, our worship would be comprised of coming together and singing prayer, as we have done, and then we would normally open up the Word of God and listen to what the Lord would say through one of His messengers and let the Word speak. And in part, we are still doing that today, but we're doing it in a very unique way. We have entitled our time together today, and I'll be speaking on behalf of the elders as we have been making a journey in wrestling with a vision for the future. Now, I want to make a little bit of a connection, though, to what we've been doing, and I want to give a big, giant thank you to our preaching team. For those of you that have been here on a regular basis, we have been making a journey through the book of Genesis. And as you know, we have a preaching team that is made up of Andy Howard and Steve Bergstrom and Vic Anderson, and they have been walking us through that series. And I would like to publicly, on behalf of the elders, to thank those three men as they have been leading us in our Sunday morning time in challenging us through that particular book. And I would ask that you would join me even in giving a round of applause and thanking them. One of the things that for me personally, as I have joined you in making that journey, I've been going back and plowing through the book of Genesis as they have challenged us. And one of the things that jumps out at me of the many things that they have challenged us in, have you noticed that in the book of Genesis, these people are always having these moments where God shows up and He does something amazing and they start piling up rocks? You ever notice that? I mean, they build an altar. And sometimes they will worship God in a very unique way that might be a little different to us. But at other times, through these early books in Genesis, we will see these individuals pile up these stones of remembrance. Now, stones of remembrance in the Old Testament always did two things. God would do something amazing, and they would look around and say, "Let's worship the Lord, and let's pile up rocks." So in other words, it was always associated with worship, but listen, it was also associated with remembrance. Now, as a kid, by the way, I thought that was the coolest thing ever. I was all about those Israelites. They were digging up rocks and doing things with them. But it's interesting. Sometimes the phrases in Scripture would say, so that when you pass by this way again, they would physically see these stones of remembrance, and you know what they would do. They'd look back and they'd remember the faithfulness of God. But you know what else it would cause them to do? It would cause them to look forward and trust based on the faithfulness of God. Does that make sense? Well, I want us to make a little bit of a journey today. And I want us to look back, and then I want us to look forward. Because when we look back, I want to tell us a bit of a story that some of us in this room are probably more familiar with than others. But to all of us, it is the story of who we are and why and how and where we are today, of which we're all part of. And we've all associated and come in at different phases and stages along the way. But I pray that as we look back and then as we look forward, we will be encouraged and challenged. I want to step back in time a little bit, and I'm not going to give all of the details, and if you ever want more of those details, I'd be happy and honored to talk with you, as would any of the other elders and leaders of the church, to give you a long history of how this church came to be. But through a series of events that the Lord led, and I'm happy to say it wasn't because of a church split or church problems or any type of disgruntledness, if that's a word, disgruntledness. It was a group of believers came together, and roughly speaking, around 2000 brought a couple of groups together, and it was a small group of people that were starting to meet in a storefront and asking, "Lord, would you want us to do something different?" would you want us to plant a church in Mesquite, Texas? And through a series of events and time of prayer and, yes, raising funds, asking how the Lord would allow all of that group to be stewards in that process, a series of things came together and a group of believers were planted. And as many churches have, a mission statement was crafted which would remind us of who we are and why we exist. And that mission statement still exists today. And you have seen it. It's this. Hopefully, if you are here on a regular basis, this is not new to you. This is our mission statement, and I'm going to ask you to say it with me, if you will, as we read it together. Please, for God's good pleasure, Center Point Church exists to worship together, strengthen each other, and share with our world. Let's do it one more time, please. For God's good pleasure, Center Point Church exists to worship together, strengthen each other, and share with our world. And that was crafted long before the Lord led us to where we are today. And through a series of events that is just nothing less than the faithfulness of God, God allowed that little group of people to have a contact with the city of Mesquite. In the city of Mesquite, just so happens, had some property that was for sale on Kearney. And through God's providential move and contact, acreage was bought right here on this property. And in 2004, a group of people stood right here on this property when there was no building, and they had a groundbreaking ceremony. Now, for many of us in this room, this is going to get a little nostalgic. Some of you, as I looked through this picture, you look exactly the same. Some of us do not. I was a young man when this occurred. And many of these people, as I look back, have gone on to be with the Lord. Some, by the providential move of God, have been led into other occupations and no longer live in the area, but you might still see some faces that you recognize, some that are even here today. My kids were all little, and now they're not. Time moves quickly, doesn't it, friends? And I'll never forget when, through a series of events, a groundbreaking ceremony occurred, and as an initial building went up right here on this property, that as those stud walls were built, that group was able to come in as it was being built and had a time not just of prayer at the beginning, but a time of prayer throughout. And many of us that were around at that time came on and we took pens. And we wrote on those stud walls before sheetrock went up and before bricks went up and asked the Lord's blessing to be upon this place, not just for us, but for future generations to come. One that was personal to me was this one. My daughter, Casey, who is now 19, made this prayer. She couldn't write very well, but she asked this prayer. I love you, Jesus, and then wrote her name. Very personal to me. And if these stud walls could talk, if we could pull back the sheetrock and the brick, there would be prayers of saints of old, many that are on the other side, praying for us, somehow cheering us on now. And their prayers are still present right here in this building. And I'll never forget when we received an architectural rendering. This was the original one that we received. And after a period of time, and the Lord provided funding, and a building was built, and a group of people launched right here at Center Point Church with that mission statement, it was several months later that that architectural rendering became a reality. And that was phase one in 2004. Now, here's what that group learned, as we all must learn and all must confess. That, listen to this. Ministry is about people, not things. We were still the same group of people, right? Because a church is people. It's not a building. But listen to this. This is something else that we learned. Facilities facilitated ministry. This was and always has been God's facility. It's we, the people, that are the church, but God has given us a facility to facilitate ministry. And we came together as a community and we worshiped. And one of the other things that became part of the DNA of Centerpoint Church was that of fellowship. And I'm not just talking about fellowship meals, as fun as that is, okay? I'm talking about life on life and eyeball to eyeball and doing life together. Because, friends, when we confess that mission statement of we worship together, we strengthen each other. That's what it means to be a believer. Woe to the believer that finds themselves in isolation. You ever watch those National Geographic shows? You know, and it shows the herd, and they're all together, and there's power in numbers, right? It's always that gazelle that's off by himself on the water, and you're sitting there going, don't go near the water, because they've already shown us the crocodiles, right? And you're going, please don't go over there, please don't go over there. Wham! Friends, it's the huge teaching of Scripture. We are meant and created to do life together. It's where growth occurs. It doesn't occur in a pew. It occurs in small groups and challenging one another in the faith. And we have been privileged to see that occur in a local body right here on Kearney in Mesquite, Texas. And guess what happened? We've grown. We've grown spiritually and we've grown numerically. And that was phase one. And so we realized really ultimately what was happening. Here's what was happening. We were just piling up bricks of remembrance, rocks. And we looked back and we saw the faithfulness of God, the provision of God, and it forced us to look to the future. And so as we outgrew the facilities that we had at that time, phase one, the initial building, which we walked into when you came in through those front doors today, we ultimately began to pray about phase two. And in 2012, phase two, by the grace of God, the people at that time, more of us that are in the room today, God provided miraculously and gave us funding to allow us to step into some additional facilities. And that circle where you see, I hope you're all familiar with it because we're all sitting in it right now, this is phase two in the restrooms and some more classrooms, and God allowed us to have this. Now, here's what we remembered. Guess what? Ministry is about people, not things. But with additional facilities that facilitate ministry, we stepped aggressively into a youth program, and Awana exploded, and we developed a care ministry, and a greater emphasis in being attentive to our missionaries, and we began to step out by faith with community outreach, and we launched Beach Club, working with the local elementary school right down the road, in VBS, in evangelism in the community, in providing donuts and coffee on Fridays to let the community know that we're here as they're dropping their kids off at school, to let them know that we care. And God has been so gracious to let us be involved in His work. And so here we are today. All these years later, 2018, now let me just give you a few stats. God has been so faithful. On any given Sunday, if we all show up at the same time, we'd have 250 to 285 people. Have 125 children under the age of 18. Now, some of you are going, amen, I know that, because I walked down the hall this morning. And I mean, it's like dodging things and little kids and people and things like that. And what a blessing and a privilege for us to look to the future. Because it's not about us, it's about another generation. And they are on their way. And the Lord has called us to be stewards. And what a privilege it is for us to say that, confess it, and remind ourselves of it. We have maxed out our educational facilities. This is not a bad thing, but we are using every square inch. We're having classes that meet in the kitchen. We have set up Tent City, which is a wonderful thing. If you've not seen it, please go down to the other end in the fellowship hall. It's a beautiful thing to see, and the teachers are teaching, and the kids love it. We have classes that are meeting in storage areas. That's a good thing. We've been off-site where we've partnered with CC's Pizza at times so that groups can meet there, and it's a wonderful challenge for us. It's a really good thing. And so we've all begun to pray about it. The elders prayed about it, and like any good group, when you pray about it, what do? You appoint a committee. You're supposed to laugh when I say that. And so out of this body, we appointed, it sounds like a real good committee name. If you were here last May, we announced that in a couple of different times of us meeting together. And we appointed, listen to this, it sounds like a good committee, a facilities expansion feasibility committee. Can I just make you smile? It's a group of people made up of us. And in May 2018... Sean Matthew, Isaac Guyman, Scott Hatchett, Andy Howard, Joseph Proctor, Bob Yarbrough, and Jennifer Yarbrough all met together. And I know that many of that team, they're here right in the room this morning. And I am going to ask that group, if you will, just briefly, wherever you are, if you were on that committee, would you please stand? Come on, don't be bashful. Would you join me in thanking this team? In particular, I would like to thank Sean Matthew, who chaired this committee and did an incredible amount of work on behalf of all of us. And here's what this team was charged with doing. In essence, the elders came to this committee and said, we're growing by leaps and bounds, and the Lord has been very gracious. And if we were to do something with the current facilities or possibly add on to the current facilities, what would we do? And after a series of really about 6 months, they came back and made a presentation to the elders. And let me just briefly explain without too much details. They worked with the city of Mesquite. They talked with architects. They did assessments of our current body and our current growth and our current growth rate. We've looked at giving trends and opportunities. They've looked at the building market and what will happen likely in the next year or 2 years, and they assessed all of that data on our behalf as a whole. And they came and made a presentation, and there was a recommendation that they made, and they said, would we, could we, should we consider renovating part of our current facilities and adding on to our facilities, i.e., what we'll talk about as phase three. And the elders talked, and the elders prayed, and prayed with them. And it has led to our talk today. Because ultimately, it's a question of opportunity, it's a question of stewardship, and it's a very sincere question of asking the Lord, Lord, is this what you want us to do? I'll get to that here at the end of our time together, but let me first tell you what it is that they have proposed and that we as an eldership have embraced and are bringing before us today. Here's our current facility, and they really began to look at a portion of our current facility. The smaller circle that you see on the left is our fellowship room that is down towards the other end of this building. The big circle that you see around the playground is obviously property that's owned by us, the church, right here. And they, in essence, asked the question and said, we wonder if it would, and in essence said, we think it would be a good idea for us to consider, in light of our growth, to do something by renovating the current fellowship area and to add on to the end of this building. Now, what you see here is a top-down view of the facilities. So if we were up in a big blimp looking down straight over our current facilities, what you see is phase one, 2004. When there was an original property that was put on this ground, that's 2001. That's where we walked in. We walked in and to the right and down to the fellowship area. That was phase one. Phase two, as I talked about just moments ago, was added on in 2012. When we walked in and turned left, the restrooms, some more classrooms, the offices where we currently on. This was added on as phase two in 2012. The proposal that we would like to talk about today is, number one, renovating the current fellowship area. That's the pink area that you see. And we believe that we would be able to renovate that and create at least six more large classrooms. And further out that way, the area that you see that is black that says phase three, the new addition, we would like to consider adding on additional square footage to the building. Now, we have already talked with architects to get a framework of what's involved in this. We've talked with the city of Mesquite. We have a good idea on the time frame, the cost, the level of commitment that it would take from us collectively. But I do get charged up when, after it's all said and done, we see something like this. Because phase three would be added on. We think that it could look very symmetrical. It would allow us to have a significant footprint. Let me show you another view of this. If we were to step into the first entrance currently into the parking lot, it would look something like this. And we believe that by the time all that is said and done, here in essence, is what the total addition would be. Roughly speaking, 4,200 additional square feet. There would be at least six new large classrooms. The reason I say at least is because some of those large classrooms, as it would evolve, could be subdivided depending upon classroom needs and space. There would be more restrooms. A new men's and women's restrooms would allow us to have three different sets of restrooms on the facilities. And in particular, I think what most individuals that worked on this project were excited about was a large multi-purpose room that is bigger than our current fellowship area. Now, the reason that we think that that is important is because that would open up a host of opportunities to us. As we are working with teachers and in the educational program here at the church, many of you that are parents have watched your children walk into a classroom made of tents. And that is wonderful because as those ages expand and contract, we can have different sizes of classrooms. And our kids have learned to love going to church, and their community is in a campout wilderness. And I'm telling you, friends, if it's, you're a kid, it just doesn't get any better than that. In fact, what we weren't ready for is that kids that aren't in tents want to be in a tent. And so this would allow us a big space that we could do a variety of things in. It would give us a larger opportunity for Awana. It would give us opportunity for a variety of meals and fellowship opportunities. Some of the things that have been going on over the last couple of years where we're having men's group and women's group and Financial Peace University in a variety of seminars to help the body at large and to work with the community. We think a larger space for youth would be very important. It would allow a variety of recreational things such as volleyball and dodgeball, and the flexibility of that we think is a huge plus for us as a local body. Well, obviously you're asking the question of what about the total cost for this? And Nothing is cheap. We all know the world in which we live. And so what I'm showing us now includes the turnkey project. It includes the renovation of the existing facility and adding on the new square footage. Here's the grand total. The total cost of the entire project is, roughly speaking, $816,000. Now, the question then is, if we don't have all of the current funding, would we consider other options in order to move forward with that project if the Lord made it clear that we were supposed to do that? The elders are currently comfortable with looking at a bank loan in the neighborhood of $500,000. Now, let me state this very clearly up front here. Our philosophy in regarding to funding and financing has been the only debt that we have ever brought up on has been related to our mortgage, to the facilities. There's no other debt for any other forms of ministry, for personnel, for buses, for anything else that we have been comfortable with that kind of a debt as it relates to mortgage, because the current mortgage that we have, the value of our facilities far outweighs what it is that we owe. We have great equity in the building, in other words. But what we would be comfortable in looking at is taking out a loan in the neighborhood of $500,000 and refinancing our current mortgage, and we believe that that would position us to get going if a couple of other things take place. Well, currently, right now, in a building account, we, Center Point Church, all of us together, have $121,000 through faithful giving of a variety of people and a little bit over time and month and special gifts that have come our way. Currently, there's $121,000 that we have amassed and collected for the future. The question that we are asking is that leaves us with a deficit of a 3-year fundraising goal that we would need to raise $195,000. And so the question that we have, that on behalf of the elders that we bring before the body today, is this exact question. Should we by faith move forward? I can phrase it this way. It's a vision for the future. What are our next steps? So here's an essence, just as a summary of where we are. God has been faithful. Amen? Amen. I don't ever want us to forget that. We're faithful givers. God cares about every penny that has ever been given. And we all know how it works. Some God has given the ability to give more. And others, God has given the ability to give and stretch in faith. And we pray that all giving from every one of us is a gift of faith. And God cares about the heart of the giver, not the amount of the gift. The widow's mite in Scripture was a treasure to God. Amen? And so the question that we lay before all of us today is, we are asking us as a team, as a family, to take some steps. And here they are. Number one, we are asking that you would join in prayer, all of us together, for phase 3. In essence, we're asking the question, Lord, is this what you want us to do? Lord, you've given us opportunity. We see what's happening around us. We certainly know the need in our culture. We look at our kids. We look at the amount of children that we have, and we know we're maxed out of space. And we need to ask ourselves the question, Lord, do you want us to move forward in faith with phase 3? Now, I also want to add this on to this. It is our belief, it is our conviction that this is the final phase. Maybe it will surprise you, maybe not, that when we stepped into this years ago, we had a 3-phase move that was always in play if the Lord would smile upon us. And it's very interesting that that's now where we are today. So let me just state a little bit of a philosophy. By that I mean this. The vision of the leadership, and we think that has come from you, is that there's no intent to be a mega church. We're not knocking mega churches. That's not our intent. Please hear my heart on that, even when I say that personally. But we have always had a ministry goal and a ministry mentality. We would ask the Lord and say, Lord, if you would allow us to be an aggressive, ministry-focused, discipling church of 400 to 450 people, we would be thrilled with that. And we think we are on the way towards that goal. Now, that might mean different things for us in the future. It might mean things such as a second service. It might present us an opportunity to have a greater outreach in this community, maybe to have a service in another language. Our goal is to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world that does not know him. Let's keep it very focused. That's why we exist. We come together in worship. We strengthen each other for the battles of the day and the journeys that lie ahead. We cannot do this alone. But let's not miss, we are called to share with our world. You and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, all of us are ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whether we're in paid vocational ministry or not, friends, we are all involved in ministry. And we are called as saved individuals to be salt and light in the spheres of influence that God has planted us. We are called to share with our world. And so, we are asking that you would pray for phase three, that the Lord would make clear, is this the time that we're supposed to do this? And Lord, are you going to provide the finances in order for us to move forward? Number two, we are asking all of us to evaluate how we regularly give. By that I mean, these types of moments in my life, me personally, it's always a good checks and balance for me to say, Lord, what would you have us do? Lord, in the way that you have provided, Mark Yarbrough, are you being faithful as a steward with what the Lord has trusted you with? Friends, I want to just say this collectively for the church at large, not Centerpoint Church, but Centerpoint as part of the larger church. I'm always greatly disturbed and challenged, and let me tell you why. You do realize that we live in the most financially blessed country that has ever existed on planet Earth. If you care to talk with me after the service, I'll be happy to chat. I'm saying that not to browbeat us in the least. I'm here to tell you that in the history of human civilization, we are the most financially blessed people that have ever walked the face of this planet. And I know I share the struggle with you, men and women of faith. There are times that in our culture, because of that bounty and because of that blessing, we may think that we don't have. And that's what it means to be human and to have a Genesis 3 problem, right? Because we're all sinners. But if you would ever care to know what poverty looks like, I'd be happy to take you to the tea plantations of Sri Lanka. I know that some of my brothers and sisters in this room that have traveled extensively would be happy to tell you about scenarios that they have seen and heard. And so here's what I always want us to realize. We are a very blessed people. Do you know what it means to be rich in the world? It means you have a couple of changes of clothes and you have a roof over your head and you have a meal for tomorrow. Friends, we are incredibly blessed. And I say that, again, not to convict us, not to belittle our thinking. I am saying this to myself. Here's what I'm trying to do. We're blessed. Would you agree with me? Okay. We are. I think it's a good challenge for us. Here's what I know statistically with the church at large in the United States. Do you know that in regard to out of our great bounty, historically, the church in the United States has given about 4% of their gross income. If the church at large, and friends, I'll even say this, I'm part of it, even we at Centerpoint, if we gave 10% of our gross of what God has given us, we'd pay cash for this building. That's between every one of us and the Lord. But you can't argue with the stats. The data is the data. I'm not making this up. So here's what I know. Every time that Mark and Jennifer Yarbrough come to a moment like this in our local church, it provides us an opportunity to say, okay, Lord, are we doing what we need to be doing with your blessing to us? And that's true of every one of us in this room, right? We're all stewards. And we get one season of this. So here we are. So it's always a good opportunity for us to evaluate our regular giving. And then, obviously, is the big challenge in front of us. We need to ask the Lord, every one of us individually, Lord, should we do this? Should we make a personal 3-year commitment and say, Lord, here's how we want to address that $195,000 deficit. And if we can raise that with what we have faithfully already given, Lord, would you have us move forward in faith to renovate and add on? As a final part of the footprint, what we believe will help be a facility that will facilitate ministry in Mesquite, Texas for years to come. And it will give us an opportunity to take all these kids that God has now given us and provide a tool of training for their future. So, at the end of the service today, as you walk out, a couple of folks are going to give you a card. And we're going to ask you to take it. We're also going to send these out in the mail this week, okay? So don't think we're like chasing you down, okay? But we realize there's many people that are not here today. And so we want everybody to know this. We're going to try to take what we've talked about and put it in a letter, and we're going to give this same card that, in essence, it's a two-sided card, and it'll be given to you in an envelope just like this, and it talks about regular giving, and it talks about a potential phase 3 building commitment. And in essence, we are going to ask all of us to speak into this. And friends, our tension on this is shared. We don't want anyone to put themselves in peril. We don't want you to stretch yourself beyond where you need to be stretched, and that's between you and the Lord, and we honor that. At the same time, we all need to be stretched in faith and be aware of the opportunity that we believe is ours. And friends, somewhere in there is a healthy and holy tension that every believer must find themselves and even act upon. So, here's what in essence we're asking you to do. Please prayerfully respond by Sunday, December the 2nd. Now, after the service today, down in the fellowship area, there's going to be a couple of elders down there, and maybe some of the committee that worked on that. We'll be down there, and we'll be happy to field any questions that you may have. And next week, we'll do the same thing. We want to be an open book on absolutely everything. So please press and probe and ask. State your concerns. State your excitement. But all of us as a local body of Christ, we're asking us to respond. And we believe that the Lord will speak. And we're coming into this with very open palms. You know what that means, right? Lord, you're going to let us know what we're supposed to do. And if now is the time, by faith, that Centerpoint Church needs to take that next step, we're believing that the body at large is going to speak into this. And the other one's a hard thing to say sometimes, isn't it? As Wayne and I were talking yesterday, and Wayne, I greatly appreciate your phrase. Sometimes we can have our best goals and desires, and our plans are thwarted by the sovereignty of God. Doesn't mean that they were bad plans. It just means, as we all know in our personal life, sometimes God says, not now, not yet. And so we are asking the Lord to speak to us through us. Does that make sense? So, please be in prayer. Should we embark upon phase 3 in 2019? And by the way, this is not to move or manipulate. One of the things that we are wrestling with is that we have been informed that it looks as if building process and time and the world is going to change in the next year. And so that's why we are bringing this now. The committee was very adamant in their study and in their work of saying, a year from now, we think it will cost 20% more. And so that is why we are bringing it here and now, today, at this moment, at this time, asking the Lord to lead. Amen? We commit this discussion and this opportunity to you. I thank you for every individual that is here right now, for their faithful walk with you, for their longing to be more like their Savior. Lord, we confess that we want to be good stewards of the time and the talents and the treasures that you have given us, that life is short, that it is precious, that at times in our walk you give us opportunities to step forward in faith, and other times you ask us to stop. Help us to know right now, in this moment, through all of us working together, to be sincere in our hearts before you. Lord, if you want us to be stretched, if you want us to let go of something in order to make a commitment that we've never made before, if you're wanting us to readjust the finances that you have provided for us, everything's just on loan from you. Lord, if we are doing absolutely everything that we can do right now, help us to stand firm in that conviction. Lord, we need you to speak. We want to be a faithful body right here in Mesquite, Texas. And because of that, Lord, we're trusting you to work in our midst in amazing ways. And so we present this to you through the only means and access that we have, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray these things by the power of your Spirit.